Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Ben. I'm one of the pastors here. If we haven't met, it is good to be gathered with you and praising God and worshiping Him today. I have a couple of heads-ups for us, just for our church community as we are praying for our church community. Many of you may know that the Hernandez family, that is Sherry and Tony Hernandez, and also Tanya Hernandez, they have been sick with COVID over the last week. They are, I believe Tony is doing okay. Sherry and Tanya are still, it's hitting them a bit harder. So be praying for Sherry and Tanya especially. They have great news in their household. Their two boys have been officially adopted by them. And so we can praise God and celebrate. Yes, let's clap. There are few other good reasons to clap for something as the starting of their family officially, making official what has been the case for a while now. So, Hernandez family, if you're joining, we will be glad to celebrate with you when you're able to come back. We'll enjoy ourselves, we'll have a party, and we'll probably celebrate the boys there as well. One other thing, I was just informed, Kevin today told me that Calvin Hirschberger, his dad, Calvin, tested positive for COVID yesterday. So be praying for Calvin as he navigates this. We recognize it. COVID is still present in our communities, and I know a number of us have felt sick, not with COVID, but with other things, because there are things going around. Be praying. Let's just pray right now. Calvin's doing okay from what I understand, but let's be praying for him, for the Hernandezes, and for us to encounter God this morning. God Almighty, we are grateful for good news. We are so glad that the boys, Arian and Jay, who used to be called Marcos, that Jay and Arian are officially part of the Hernandez family. We are grateful for that. God, we pray for the Hernandezes and for Calvin as well as they navigate COVID, that you would take care of them, that you would help them bring healing in their life. For any of us that are feeling sick for a variety of reasons, whether it's COVID or other things, we ask and pray for your healing, Lord. Help us to live well in these times. For us here, whether we are here in person, whether we're online, we ask and we pray that you would help us encounter you this morning. May what I say be of you, may what we say be of you, and may we see you at work here today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm looking. All right. I just want to give one heads up. Sometimes we talk about subjects that are a little bit uncomfortable. We run into those subjects that may be uncomfortable to some of us, and today's one of those days. If you didn't get the email or if you have not heard, today we are going to be talking about sex. That is on the agenda today, and so I want to recognize not all of us feel comfortable or in a space where we can talk about that, and if that is you, that is okay. If you don't want your kids to experience conversation about that, that's why we wanted to give people the option of kids worship today especially, or if you're uncomfortable for some reason, there is no judgment. You probably won't want to connect this week. The entire sermon is not about that. We'll be diving into Scripture and we'll use that as a springboard, but you need to have the ability to opt in or out, and so if you want to opt out, there's no judgment. We'll check you out next week. We'll hang out with you then. That is fine. Also, one other heads up. We are going to be doing Q&A after the service or after the sermon as well. So if you've got questions about our passage or about what we're talking about, get those ready also. We are in our communication series, What Would Jesus Say? And today we are talking about our relationships. Not just our romantic relationships, not just family relationships, but friendships, work relationships, professional ones, even friends or us as the church family, how we relate to each other. Because communication has a big deal to do with that, right? That is the main way we experience each other, is how we communicate to each other, how we interact with each other. And so we're just going to get straight to the passage this morning. If you've got your Bible with you, I'm going to invite you to open it or open your phone if you've got an app on it. Patrick and Robert, I forgot to tell you, I'm going to ask if you guys, we've got three screens or three slides here. If I can get you to go through these, I'll start us off. I think there's screens 2, 3, and 4 for you, Robert. But we're going to be in James chapter 3 this morning. And I invite you to hang out, read along with us, and let's see what it has to say. James 3, 1 through 12. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set your life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. James here, I think we talked a couple of weeks ago. James is the, traditionally we say this author is the brother of Jesus, and James here has a lot to say about our tongues. It's kind of gross because, or kind of odd because tongues are gross, and they seem to have a mind of their own, and that's kind of what we're told in this verse, right? That our tongues almost seem like they have a mind of their own. And we experience this occasionally. Anyone sitting in the dentist chair and your tongue is just doing something on its own, you're not actually controlling it. The dentists are, you know, scraping down in the deep inside of your cavities or into your crevices, and your tongue just mindlessly follows the tool over there and tries to prevent it from doing anything just because. It feels like our tongues have a mind of their own, but we recognize what James is saying. He's not talking about the physical tongue. He is talking about how we talk. He's talking about how we communicate, what words we say, how we say them, what's the attitude that lies underneath, what's our heart saying. And he's saying how we talk, good or bad, matters a lot. So I want to go through a couple of verses at the start of this, just for a bit. We don't have time to cover everything because we're going to another passage after this. But going verse by verse at the very start of this passage. Not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Thanks a lot, James. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But it's true. All of us that are Christians, we are all invited to follow Jesus at the same level. There aren't like tiered levels of Christian membership. That's not what this is supposed to say. But at the same time, you don't want somebody getting up on stage telling you to love your neighbor when they've been in a feud with their neighbor over something ridiculous for the last decade, right? We don't want that. And James continues here. He says, indeed, we all make many mistakes. He acknowledges people make mistakes, and that is a truth for all of us. that we make mistakes. You will make mistakes. You will make errors in your life in how you talk to people. You have sinned. That is reality for all of us. But we are a community of grace and love because we recognize through the mistakes that we make, through the errors that we make, even through sin, we recognize that we did not earn our way into the kingdom of heaven, that God gave us grace, that God gave us forgiveness and invited us in, not because of our innate goodness or qualities of us, but because we said, yes, Jesus, thank you, be Lord of my life. We recognize we all make mistakes. Indeed, we all make mistakes, and so we give grace. But here's the kicker of all of this. This is James setting things up. He says the why we make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could control ourselves in every other way. Our mouths get us into trouble. I was wondering if someone would say amen to that statement. It's obvious, right? This is not revolutionary. This is not James making some, you know, magnificent discovery of the human behavior. And I'm guessing James, when he wrote this, he was like, yeah, you guys recognize this, right? Our mouths get us into trouble. What we say gets us into trouble. It's a basic fact of human nature. And James goes on to liken our communication, liken our speech to a bit in a horse's mouth, a rudder that steers a ship, or a tiny spark that sets the forest on fire. But I'm going to invite you, if you've still got James 3 open, I want to read the rest of the chapter. It's just a couple more verses, but I think it's connected. As I did my study this week, I think it's connected to what we just saw. So I'm going to get us there, James 3, 13 through 18. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with humility, with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. I think this whole chapter is about communication. Because jealousy and selfishness and ambition this last portion talked about, those are not God's kind of wisdom. The wisdom from above, God's wisdom, is pure, peace-loving, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good deeds. And the choice that James chapter 3 gives us is whether we are going to use our tongue, whether we're going to use our communication as a rudder that steers the ship, or whether it is a spark that sets the world on fire. That's our choice, whether it's going to be a rudder steering the ship, steering our relationships, helping us avoid, you know, avoid the rocky reefs that are around, or avoid running aground where we don't want to, or our communication can set the world on fire, and that's not great. The choice is whether we are using earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom or God's kind of wisdom. Because we get to choose. And indeed, we all make many mistakes. James said that in the second sentence of the chapter. But we try to choose the Jesus way. We try to choose the good way. So we're going to play this out. We're going to talk through some practical situations about how we can be people that steer things well. making our communication a rudder, not a spark. And this is the last time I'm going to mention it this morning, but I figured we just needed a warning.
Warning. This sermon acknowledges the existence of sex. Warning.
Thank you, handsome voice from the sky. I appreciate that. Surprise, surprise, we're going to start talking about sex now. And it is because our world does not do a great job at this. Our world doesn't do a particularly good job of talking about sex, but I fear that we as Christians sometimes don't either, because we get embarrassed. It doesn't seem like a subject we should bring up at church, right? But I think we should. First off, I just want to recognize not everybody interacts with sex. That is a fact. You might not have a romantic partner. You might have medical reasons why you're not interacting with sex. You might choose, just simply choose not to. I think when I was talking with somebody earlier this week, they said, "Oh, talking about sex, huh? I remember that." That was their comment. It just may not be something that you are interacting with right now. That is okay. We should still talk about it, because what we can learn from communicating about sex, we can apply to a host of other areas. So we're going to talk about three things this morning that I think James helps us with. Three things that we can apply to sex, and three things that can apply to our lives. And when we talk about sex, those three things are that it requires consent, it requires you express yourself, and it requires humility. First thing up, consent. We have to talk about consent. Consent is basically that both parties are on the same page. They're involved, they're interested, and they're willing. I think one of the language they use about consent is that there is enthusiasm, that there is a yes that is not coerced. Because we recognize one of the most horrific ways to set a relationship or a life on fire is to ignore if somebody is willing to engage. If you don't have consent, they stop. They have to stop. Just in our personal life, Caitlin didn't mind me sharing this, so I will. Caitlin and I have a few different ways of kind of checking in if we are interested or not. And if either one of us says no or gives one of those clues that says no, things stop. That is where it goes. And so we've got a couple of different ways of asking for that. And one of those ways was a gift we were given. Caitlin was at her bachelorette party. My mom, I think you were there. My mom and dad are here this morning. You know, on the Sunday we're talking about sex, so it's not embarrassing for them at all. Or me, for that matter. It just happened to work out that way. It's okay. But you were there. There was a gift that was given, two T-shirts with Snoopy on it, and it says to each of us, "Nope, not today." I know, and Caitlin knows, if either of us are wearing this T-shirt, she's got one too, we know, nope, not today. All right, done. That's it. And that's okay. That's how it should be. That's us communicating with each other. Respect consent. Second thing, talk about what you actually want. Express what you want. Another word for this might be direct. If there's something that you are wanting, whether you're actually just wanting to engage with sex or you've got something that you want, actually express what you want with words. And I recognize that can feel awkward. And it might conflict with what your partner wants too. But it is better to have a conversation than not to. It's just better. And the last thing I'll mention, being humble. This is directly from our passage today. Be humble. That means being willing to yield to what the other person's needs, other person's wants above your own. When sex is done well, it is about connection and not power. It's about connecting with the person you're spending your life with. That's what it's about. It's not about power or getting your way. And I just want to say, I recognize whenever we bring up these verses about be willing to yield to others, sometimes they can be used a little bit as a hammer, right? Well, you should be willing to yield to me because this is what I want, and the Bible says you should yield. Well, first off, these verses are always for us. It is always us that gets called to be willing to yield to others. And so whenever we read this, we need to recognize that it applies to us first before it applies to anybody else. Those are the three things that I think James would say, and three things that we should talk about when it comes to sex. But I think those three things help us when we talk about communication as a whole. We go back to talking about consent. It matters a ton when we talk about sex, but it matters in other areas of life too. The people give consent or not, and if people say no, that still means no, you should stop. If you go up to a friend and you just want to talk about the latest crisis that's going on politically and they say no, you should still stop that conversation. Don't try to force a conversation on somebody. That's where jealousy, selfishness, and ambition, the things our passage talk about, come in. Make sure you're on the same page, that people are actually willing to talk through what you want to talk through, whether it's sex, politics, anything. Consent matters. Saying not today, no, not today, that's acceptable. Expressing what you want, being direct in life, this is something that is surprising. So many people don't want to do, because for whatever reason we're taught we need to kind of keep it hidden because, well, I don't even know why. It just seems like we're taught to keep what we want hidden. Use your communication as a rudder to steer yourself, to steer your relationship with that person, boss, employee, coworker, friend, family member, whatever. But express what you actually want. They might not know. Chances are they don't. And just saying what you want might really help further that relationship. Be direct. And the last thing, be humble. I said when sex is done well, it is about connection, not power. I think the same thing about our lives. Because life is about connection, not power. Our world is convinced that power matters. If you've been paying attention at all to what's going on over in the Ukraine with Russia, the Ukraine, NATO, the United States, we're all involved, and there is a lot of people expressing a lot of different opinions, and most of them are trying to use power in some way to get the other side, whatever that other side is, to back down or back off or what have you, so they can get their way. Our world is set up to use power. But as Christians, as people saved by Jesus, we know it's not power that saves us. It is connection to Jesus. We are saved people because of our connection to God. And I think if we live humbly, if we're willing to yield to others, life just goes better. Well, we're going to go to a Q&A time right now. So, Kevin, if you want to grab our microphone. Did not have sex. He was not married. We can still apply what he said and what he inspired to just about every area in our life. So, are there any questions about what we talked about today? Or about James chapter 3? It is a full chapter. Questions? Comments? Saying this is all hogwash. Got a question down here.
Um, Does James saying that like our tongues are like a fire have anything to do with the Pentecost and all the disciple stuff?
Does James saying our tongues are like, because that is a very was that Acts 1 or Acts 2? I always forget. But there's a very Pentecost-type moment where people see something that looks like tongues of fire and the Holy Spirit is present. I don't think that's exactly what James is going for here, because he talks about let's see, it can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. So earlier on, that's in verse 6, earlier on when he says a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, that part might be positive. That part, we could potentially interpret it like that. Later on, it seems like there is this negative connotation to the fire, set on fire by hell itself. So maybe for that first part, because if we're talking about, there are two images of fire in Scripture. There is an image of destructive fire and refiner's fire, something that purifies. And so if we go with the image of purifying fire, we can use our tongues to build each other up. We can use our communication to build each other up. So I think that's a great observation. It could be both. When we get to the destructive aspect, we know that it's the wrong kind of fire, though. Great question. Thank you. Other questions? I think I got one in over text. I'm just gonna read a couple, because I'm getting a couple here. When it comes to sex, I feel like it can be difficult to find good resources that can help us to work through issues and improve our connections. It seems like there is so much out there that contains things that are ungodly or just uncomfortable. What do you recommend? That is a great question. In terms of talking to kids, there are a couple of books that some people that I'm connected with have really recommended. They're in our library, so if you're looking at conversations to have with kids, there's a couple of godly resources there. When it comes to other things, when it comes to how you relate to sex in your marriage, that gets a little harder, because we recognize that much of the wisdom that is out there from our culture's standpoint, it's not always the best advice. It's just not. And so, good things to do: find friends that are able to converse with you. Perhaps what that means is finding somebody else. Often this works best if you're finding somebody of your gender that you can talk to, have a blunt and open conversation with. There are probably a couple of other resources. I will have to do some checking. I am not immediately aware of any. Pastor Susan, I see you nodding in the back. Do you have some? If you want to just speak into your mic, you could. Oh, you can turn it on, though.
One of the really good Christian experts that do on this is Dr. Les and Leslie Parrott. They do everything from premarital to couples who have been married before that come together, and also just in your relationship and everything. So they're a good overall one that covers a lot of bases. And then they have more specific ones and workbooks. And what I like about them is they have workbooks that are specifically for men, like you said, men for gender, and women. So it approaches it that way also.
Gotcha. Thank you, Pastor Susan. Lost it there. All right. What does the Bible say about who should engage in sex, an important part of the sermon which has not been mentioned yet? Yes, thank you. Who should engage in sex? We're talking about sex, but there are some other basic things that we haven't talked about yet. Who should engage in sex? I'm of the conviction that the Bible seems to say that it should be people that are in a marriage relationship that are engaging in sex. The Bible does not say explicitly that premarital sex is wrong, but if you look at the overall arc of the Bible, it sure seems that way. It really does. That marriage is the place where sex is supposed to be. We see people when they are doing things that are wrong. that is sometimes mentioned there. And we recognize that sex is often misused in our world. So people that are married, our United States Mennonite Brethren, talks about our confession of faith that marriage is between a man and a woman. That's our denominational stance. That's what our denomination believes. I know there are people here that don't feel that way. I recognize that there is some diversity within our community on that theological issue, but that's what the United States Mennonite Brethren believes, and that's the organizing body for our church community. So we talk about sex as something between a married couple, and we talk about it that way, not because shame on everyone who has ever not done things that way, but we talk about it that way because that's because life works better that way. It's not that there is not forgiveness, there is not grace, there is not mercy for people who have interacted other ways, but we recognize that God's way is best, that we're trying to live life God's way, and that's something that is important. Other questions? I'm trying to look around. We've got one here, and then I'll read a question. If you want to bring the mic up for Renee, and then I'm going to read this first. In relation to communication, can you talk balancing what your opinions and yielding to other, sometimes those conflict? We've talked about this a few times, and it's a hard conversation. So where do we say, you know what, I have to be willing to yield to others? And where do we have to be willing to say, hey, I have a boundary here, we can't cross this? And if you've got a firm boundary somewhere and someone else is telling you to yield to others over your boundary, that's not good. You need to stick to your boundaries. You want to make sure those boundaries are set in a healthy way, but we have to be willing to stick with what we believe. We can't have somebody else force us to do something that we don't believe in, that we don't believe is correct. However, we do need to have mercy and grace, and we recognize we can't choose for other people. And that also means that other people can't choose for us. And so some mix of that, I think, is what's necessary here, but that's a hard conversation, and that's one that most of us will be navigating for the rest of our lives.
This is more of a comment than a question.
Yeah, go for it.
But, both sex and speech come from your heart, and so if your heart isn't healthy, those will not go right.
Absolutely. It all starts in here, everything. And we recognize the gift that sex was intended to be. It's intended to be good, but we also recognize that if what's going on in here is not right, things can go hard real quick. Things can go south fast.
So you kind of touched on it with the shirt, but so I wanted to point out, like, nonverbal communication is just as important as verbal communication when it comes to sexual content. Like, when you're communicating with your partner, like, being nonverbal, would you agree, is just as important as a communication skill as being verbal?
Absolutely. Nonverbals are, I think the latest stat that I saw was 80% of our communication. I think there's a question back there, Kevin. Nonverbals are 80% of our communication, and so we don't want to chop off that 80%. This is a nonverbal for us, for Caitlin and I. We have some others. I do think that you do need to have a verbal conversation about it at some point, because otherwise you can't easily set some of those nonverbals, or you might not find you recognize them. But absolutely, you don't always have to talk every single time let's have a 5-minute conversation before we decide or decide not to engage in sexual activity. That would be crazy and ridiculous. So absolutely, nonverbals go into that. They have to.
I think that the consent and the humility lead to closeness or intimacy in a marriage relationship. And the difficulty comes when it one or both go to, it becomes a matter of power. I want this tonight, or I want this kind of thing, and you get the jokes. Well, I got a headache. I can't do, you know. But I think, you know, we sell cars, we sell lots of things with the attractiveness of people, and it becomes confusing when it's power. And I think it's important in that communication kind of thing. You have to have a word, or you mm-hmm. demonstrated a shirt. When it becomes power and it becomes pain for either person, there's a safe word or a kind of thing that you have to have, and I think that growing up, it was for me in my life when I was in school up to sixth. Seventh grade, I thought girls were boys with long haircuts, and then I suddenly realized that the physiology is completely different, and my attitude towards the opposite sex changed a little bit too, but there's a bad thing out there that says it, when you communicate and your partner says no, you automatically, oh, they don't mean no. I'll still go, and that's still the guys sometimes talk among each other and say, well, if a girl says no and kind of things, then she doesn't really mean it. She has to. That's the social convention for saying that the
and
first
we
time.
And that's it, not good.
Yeah, then it switches to a certain of a power or dominance, and I think that's when the difficulty comes.
Pastor Susan, I might recommend we get things going with our friends down there. We're going to bring back the kids, so we're going to finish our conversation real quick. We're going to start the kids coming back because we need to do one thing before our service ends. But any other final thoughts here? Questions, observations, comments? Lauren, I think what you're saying, we have to take things at face value. If somebody says no, whether it's about sex or whether it's about anything else, that has to be it. Absolutely. And we recognize that if we're supposed to be loving each other well, we need to respect each other. And I hope we're loving each other well in our married relationships. I hope we're loving each other well as a church, that we can respect each other, too. I'm going to finish with this, and then I think our kids are going to come back, but I feel like it is. This is something we can say. Having nonverbal and verbal communication is really important, because if consent is not followed, you break trust and that feeling between you and your partner. You can destroy your relationship or hurt them otherwise. Yes, absolutely. We don't want to use our communication and what we do to destroy. We want to use our communication to be God-honoring, to do good things, to bring life to people. That's what we want. And so that's my challenge to us, is to try and live that out. There are a lot of things there. Take whatever one of those three things that we talked about. See if you can work on that for yourself this week. But that's where we're going to be. Pastor Susan, I'm going to invite you to come up and give our announcements, and then I'll give our closing challenge at the end. But if you want to come on up, and then we've got one more announcement after you're done. So please, come on down, and thank you.
Hello, everyone, and this is just a reminder of some of the announcements we had earlier. Cornerstone Conditioning, it will now start. Begin again with Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., and this will be a co-ed for men and women's. It's a level one, which means it's a chair-based exercise, and it will be held in the gym, and it will start February 3rd. February 8th. I've got it backwards. I'm looking at the others, okay? It will be in the sanctuary, and it will start February 8th. Right, Danny? Yes, I got a thumbs up on that one. And then on Thursday evenings at 6:30, it is our women's only class, and it's a level 2 strength and cardio class. That one's in the gym and begins February 3rd. The level 1 participants, you're welcome to join them in the level 2 in the gym one, because there will be chairs provided and there will be some modifications. So you're welcome if you'd like as women to go to either class. You'll be glad to have you. And I know we also have some of our fifth graders who have been coming also. So if you would like to join them, I know Danny would like to have you too. Now, Topeka Rescue Mission, our collections this month will be collecting cans of soup for the month of February. So are we going to be doing the Super Bowl one? Somebody mentioned, Pat. Just soup. Okay. Yeah,
we're collecting soup for our friends in the rescue
right.
mission.
Right. Somebody had mentioned to me that they had been doing for teams before. Okay. So.
Not just yet. We will tell you if that
exactly.
changes. Our mission
that
team will
That was a question
back.
I was supposed to ask you, so I was making sure I asked. All right. Okay. Now. Exactly.
That's a good point. And not a lot of people here are very interested in that, I imagine. So anyways. Because the Buccaneers are out, right?
Oh, no. I'm looking at all the red shirts out here. I don't see any for Buccaneers. So I think we've got you on that one, Ben. All right. I would like to ask Jesse Hart to please come forward.
Aaron, let's get down on the
yes.
ground. Something that that our church community is really excited about, our elders are, and our staff and everybody, we have the privilege this semester of having Jessie as an intern for our church community. She is going to be working with Pastor Susan and Family Ministries. You're looking at leading into a college ministry, what that might look like at our church. She's going to be doing a service, and if we can, we're going to get you to preach, right? Is that fair? All right. So we are very excited for this. Yes!
Yay!
Clapping. We are excited for that. Jessie's going to be doing a couple of things with mentoring, and she's going to come to staff meetings as well on Mondays and a couple of other things. But we're really excited to have you. Pastor Susan worked to get this to happen. I did some things. The elders helped as well, giving us some guidance, so we really appreciate all of that. And what we're going to do right now, I'm going to pray for us. Would it be okay if Pastor Susan and I put our hands on your shoulders? If you would like to extend your hand, this will be our just closing prayer for the service, but absolutely. Brian, Renee, come on up. Yes and amen. But let's just pray and let's ask God to empower Jessie this semester as she works as an intern and to empower us to be a good community for her. Lord God, we are grateful for this point of celebration, for you bringing Jessie to a point in her walk with you that she is looking at what church ministry might be like and that she's going to be interning at our church. God, we pray and we ask that you would help this be a meaningful and impactful semester for her, that she would encounter you as she works for our church community, as she does things like leading kids worship, as she looks at a college group, as she even just looks at how to preach your word. May you empower her. May you give her a blessing, a imparting of your spirit. May you just help her to live life well amongst us this semester as she interns with us. Help us be a community that that upholds her, that lifts her up, that prays for her, that seeks her best, and that comes alongside her as she seeks to follow you well. For all of us, Lord, we ask and we pray that we would be people that communicate well, that we would be people that live life well, and that we would follow you well this week. Be with us. Help us say what you would say, Lord, and go with us now. We ask and pray for all of this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, friends, go well? Absolutely. Yes and amen. Church family, go well. Blessings to you. Go in peace, everybody.